You need to be born again. People ask me sometimes, do I need to be saved to join the light of the world? I say, no, you don't need to be saved to join our church. You need to be saved to go to heaven, and this ain't heaven. You can come up in here. We want sinners to be here so you can get saved. But just sitting up in here doesn't save you. Just coming every Sunday, giving your tithes and offering your time and your talent doesn't save you. You need to be born again, because we're here to load up to take a trip. And the only one who's going to be able to get on that train are the ones who have been, what, born again.
It was Jesus Christ who spoke to a religious man and told him, you need to be born again. Jesus came to seek and to save those who are lost. This is Jerry G. Martin. Join us as we share the message of salvation. Jesus came to save you from all of your sins. Come and go with us as we walk in the light of God's Word.
Isaiah said this, man's righteous deeds, your righteous deeds, are like filthy garments, referring to the menstrual cloth. That's what your righteous deeds look like before God. We, the sinful men, ever have the opportunity to get right and righteous, it is only because of the mercy and the grace that God can provide to us. So let's look at one such verse in Romans that teaches us that God can provide his righteousness. Romans chapter 3, I want to begin at verse 21. Paul, in this passage, had began his letter to the Romans in chapter 1, talking about God's righteousness. And then in chapter 1, the latter parts, verses 18 and following, he talks about the unrighteousness of the Gentiles. They've been turned over to a reprobate mind, a mind that is no mind, and they were doing all kinds of things. That was the Gentiles. And then in chapter 2, he talks about the unrighteousness of the Jews. And then he talks here about the righteousness of God by starting here in verse 21 by saying, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Why do we want to talk about this righteousness today? Because as the Jewish people to whom Paul was addressing this was accounting their practices under the law, their rituals, their obedience and their sacrifices to the law, they were counting that as their righteousness. And Paul wanted to point out to them that all the activities and the things they were doing did not account for their righteousness, but they had a righteousness that would come from God through Jesus Christ. So in this verse, he begins to open the window of divine grace to show to those who were attempting to reach God by their own strength, by following the law and the rituals prescribed by the law, but they would always fall short. Paul said that this righteousness that God imparts to believers is apart from the law. That law referred to legalism, the strict self-dependence upon one's own effort to be good and right and righteous, the legalism. And some of you grew up in churches where there was legalism to try to make you be right with legalism. They said if you didn't wear any makeup, you were saved. Once you get saved, you don't wear no makeup. You have to dress a certain way and act a certain way and do a certain thing. And then they begin to account that to you as righteousness as long as you looked holy. And you didn't cuss and chew and smoke. So you looked holy because you fulfilled those acts of the law in that particular church. Or if you came to church every Sunday and you came to the mourner's bench and you were 12 years old, 11 years old, and they said you had to do what? Be baptized. Y'all know what they said they had to do. Whether you were saved or not, they were going to dunk you. So you were 12 years old and you had to play it off because they tell you you had to get baptized. So go to the mourner's bench and get religion. And if you didn't get it, one guy told me, he said, well, I didn't get it, but they told me I couldn't get up until I did, so I faked it. So I was 12. Me and my brother said, come on, I'm going to say I got it if you got it. He said, okay. Because they kept making us go back every week till we got religion. So he said, I got religion. They said, okay, you're good. Now you can be baptized. You're good. Why? You touched that base. You stamped that. You took care of that. Now that's all you need to do. You're okay. You're good forever. That's the law. So his main point is that the righteousness that God gives to believers is entirely apart from obedience to the law, even though the law was good. And people still try to reach God today by fulfilling the law. Some will get baptized and then say they are righteous. But baptism doesn't save you. Just because you get baptized don't mean you're saved. You can go down a dry devil and come up a wet devil. That don't save you. You don't get baptized to be saved. Now, once you get saved, you need to be baptized to indicate to the public that I have given my life to Christ and I'm making a public declaration of what has happened privately in my life and in my heart. Some will join a church and then say they are righteous. But joining a church don't make you any more righteous than sitting in a garage make you a car. Just because you join a church, it doesn't make you righteous. The devil goes to church. Some bring him with him. Going to church and joining the church and giving the preacher your hand or going to newcomers class don't make you righteous. Some would get in the choir and say they were righteous, but the devil was the choir director before he got kicked out of heaven. Joining a choir doesn't make you righteous. Serving in a ministry doesn't make you righteous. Some will tithe and then say they are righteous. But tithing don't make you righteous. Some will read the Bible in 90 days and say they are right and righteous. But that doesn't make you righteous. But God's righteousness is not based on human achievement or anything man can do under his power. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody who say they are right and righteous is going to enter. Jesus said that, not me. Yeah. Only he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Get away from me, you evildoers. One of the worst things in the world is going to be is for you to think you're righteous and think you're going to get into heaven. And when you get to the gate, find out you're going to have to go in the line with the ones who never even confess Christ. You don't want to think you're righteous. You want to know for sure. And that's why those people kept asking that question, what must I do to be saved? Don't you fool yourself. Just because you have a good feeling, just because you've been going to church for 15 years, your name is on the roll, and you're nice to everybody, that don't save you. Jesus said they were more than nice. They were prophesying. They were casting out devils. They was close, but not quite. Paul tells him in our text, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness comes from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. He said, let's get right down to the nitty-gritty. It's just Jesus. Somebody say Jesus. It's just your faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I don't want to confuse you, but the law doesn't save you. It's just described God's righteousness and shows you the impossibility of your ability to live up to it. The law, he says, nobody can live up on their own strength to all of God's law. It's too high for us to live up to. That's why they had to keep bringing sacrifices over and over again, because they kept sinning over and over again, because they could not make it under that law. He says, I don't want to confuse you, but the law doesn't save you. I don't want to confuse you, but the sacrifices was not a means of saving you from sin. It was pointing to the ultimate sacrifice, that's Jesus Christ. the commandments, the rituals, the sacrifices, and the godly principles taught in the Old Testament were and still are part of God's divine plan for us in his word. But they never removed the sin. They never forgave the sin. They never atoned for the sin. They never give us new and righteous life to a sinner, no matter how sincere you are. You can be sincere in your coming to church all you want to be, but that doesn't save you. Your sincerity doesn't save you. The righteousness we need comes only through faith in Jesus Christ. And when I speak of faith, I mean a genuine belief in Jesus Christ, which comes from the center of your being, your heart, and not just your head. See, because you can have in your head, you know, I think I need to do better. I need to be a better person. I should join church. That'll make me a better person. No, that's in your head. When your heart has received Jesus Christ, something changes in your life. See, there is such a thing as false faith. There are those who think that just because they made a statement with their mouths and even responded to an altar call that they're saved. You can say, the Bible says, if you would believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, Jesus Christ is Lord, you are saved. You can say that 50 times a day. But if you haven't made a decision in your heart to allow Jesus Christ to be your Lord, you're just talking. The problem is, what we see is that people say they're saved, but we don't see any life change. See, when Jesus Christ comes into your life for real, something changed. When you meet Jesus and he comes in your life, something changed. You don't keep acting like you were acting before you got saved. You don't keep living like you were living before you got saved. Something changes in your life. The old hymn said, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Change happened. You get saved and nothing changed. Well, I went up today and I confessed to the Lord. And you go back and nothing changed. Guess what? You didn't get saved. You think you are. And I'm here to tell you, don't fool yourself. Because I don't want you standing at the altar, standing at the judgment seat of Christ, looking at me going into heaven and say, Pastor, how'd you get in? I can't get in. I went to the same church. A person is saved through faith in Christ alone, apart from anything else. And the Bible makes it clear that saving faith is much more than simply making a verbal declaration of believing about Jesus. I found a note from one of the early writers, A.W. Tozer. And this is what he said about righteousness and coming to know Christ. He said, the faith of Paul and Luther was a revolutionizing thing. It upset the whole life of the individual and made him into another person altogether. It laid hold of the life and brought it into obedience to Christ. It took up his cross and followed along after Jesus with no intentions of going back. It said goodbye to his old friends as certainly as Elijah when he stepped into the fiery chariot and went away in a whirlwind. It had a finality about it. It snapped shut on a man's heart like a trap. It captured the man and made him from that moment a happy, loved servant of his Lord. Tozer was saying, you know, when you get saved, something changed. He'll snatch you from the direction you are going and constrain you to go. That's why Paul said, I am now a prisoner of Christ. I'm a bond servant of Christ. I don't belong to myself no more. You're no longer your own. You have been bought with a price. If you're still your own, you might want to check yourself. If you're still running your own show, you might want to check yourself to see if you really saved. You might not be saved as you thought you are. You certainly might not be righteous. I'm just telling you what Paul said. What good is it to just go through the motion? What good is it just to preach to you so you're happy and feel good and you miss heaven and you go to hell because you thought you were right? Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be what? Born again. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, what behold mean? Look. All things have become new. Folks can't tell the difference between you from the day before you were saved to the time after you were saved. They behold and can't find anything different about you. You didn't get saved. Christ hadn't come into your life. There's no way Christ can come into your heart and be the Lord of your life and nothing changed and folks don't know you're different. There's no way that can happen. No way. You just have a false religion. You're just going through the motion. You're still trying to do righteousness under the law. If I go to church, I'll be all right. If I come to prayer, I'll be all right. If I get in the choir, I'll be all right. I'm telling you, you need to be saved. I was telling someone my testimony the other day. I said, you know what? When I got saved, everybody around me knew something happened to me. Everybody that knew me knew something happened. Why? Because I wasn't the same. Something changed dramatically. And when Jesus Christ come into your life, that's the miracle of salvation. Something changed dramatically. Folks know you're not the same. You ain't cussing no more like you used to cuss. You're not cheating no more like you used to cheat. You ain't drinking like you used to drink. You ain't smoking like you used to smoke. You don't want to go to the same places you used to go to. You don't want to do the same things you used to do. When Jesus Christ comes in and take over. Take him being the Lord of your life is different from your asking him to ride with you. I want the Lord to go along with me. No. No, you're supposed to be going along with him. If you still driving, he's not in control. At 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Amplified say, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and the new has come. Paul says, but now there is a righteousness that comes from God, not coming from your own idea of what you need to do to be right. I want to tell you today that you are not fool yourself. There is a change that comes from knowing Christ. Why go through the motions? Why come to church and still nothing's changed in your life? If you're going to be right, be right. Listen, you're going to have to get right or you're going to get left. There's no two ways about it. You can't be in it just a little bit. You can't be in it just to feel good. You can't be in it just to punch your ticket and say, you know, I just know I need to go to church sometime. And you're all casual about it. The question is, are you right with God? Would God say that you are right with him? What must I do to be saved? That's the question. What must I do to be saved? I got to understand there's nothing you can do on your own to gain your salvation, but come boldly before the throne of grace and ask the Lord to save you. Repent of your sin. Repent of directing your own life. Repent of being the king on the throne and living as you desire. Repent, Lord, I've been running this thing and I've been trying to do my own thing. I've been running my life. People aren't letting the Lord run their life because they're not doing the work of the Lord. You say, I ain't got time. I got stuff I need to do. God's not running your life. He's not the Lord of your life. When he's the Lord, he can do anything with your life he wants to do. That's what being the Lord is, making him the master. Lord, you take control of my life. My life belongs to you. I have no plans apart from what you have for me. Repent. Lord, I've been running this thing. You want to know why you haven't gotten to where you thought you should be by now? You've been running it. Put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to be the Lord, the master, the director of your life, and commit to follow and obey him from this day forward. What must you do to be saved? There are people that you meet that know that their lives are all messed up. They know they need Jesus in their life. They know they've been living a horrible life. And they say, you know I need to straighten up. Our heart goes out to those people and we pray for them. But the one who's in worse shape than them are those who think they're right. And they think they're doing good enough to be righteous. Those are the ones who's going to get the big surprise on the day of judgment. As your pastor, I will be derelict in my duty to not to share with you what true righteousness is, and that righteousness comes from God, not from anything you can do on your own. There are people in this place today who needs to say, and they need to check themselves and say, you know what, I think I'm right. You know, I just love going to church. Well, coming to church is not going to save you. I love just helping people. Well, just helping people is not going to save you. Here's the question. Can the Lord direct your life anywhere he wants to direct it? Can people see Jesus Christ in your life? Can they see the difference? You've been on the job for 12 years. Nobody know you're saved. You don't have to tell folks you're saved. If you live in a Christ-filled life, they'll figure it out. You don't have to have it on your bumper sticker. You don't have to have a 12-pound Bible to carry to your job with you to beat people over the head with it. You don't have to walk into your job like this. If Jesus Christ is in your life, folks will know that something happened. Folks was asking me right after I got saved, what happened to you? They were asking me, what happened to you? I had one friend, he came to church with me and sit on the front row. I sat right there on the front row in that church, and he sat right next to me, and he was looking at me and looking at the preacher and looking at me, looking at the preacher. He said, they did something to me. He said, they did something to you. I'm going to find out what they did to you. They did something to you. They did. They told me about Jesus. They said, you're not the same. I got to find out what they did to you. If nobody knows that you got Jesus in your life, maybe he's not there as much as you thought. I didn't walk into place and says, all right, everybody, I got Jesus. They knew that my life has changed. Your life is your testimony. Your lifestyle is your testimony. The reason a lot of us can't reach the folks we know, because they know how we've been living. That's why you don't invite them to come with you, because you don't want to see you faking it. They know what you're going to do on Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday evening. And then you come to church and act like it's a glory. Woo. Try that after he say, I know you not. Try that then. Listen, I don't need to be impressed by anybody. You're not impressing me by just showing up. If you don't make it to heaven, it's not going to be because you tried to impress me. It's going to be because you just didn't get right with God. There's no better time to get right with him than whenever you hear a message that say, are you right with God? Are you right and righteous? These are moments that all of us need to come to grips with our lives and with our well-being, our spiritual well-being. God wants to use you. God wants to work in your life. He's not going to do it if you're not right with him. Here's what I want you to do. I want everybody to bow your heads. There are people all over this building who heard this message need to say, you know what? You know, I don't think I'm as right as I think I was. I'm not sure God would say that I'm right with him. If you're not sure that God would say you're right, I want you to stand on your feet. I don't care how long you've been a member, how long you've been saved. You say, I want to be right, and I want to be righteous with God. And only the Lord knows your heart. I may not be where I want to be, but I don't want to take a chance. It's not anything you can do. That's between you and God, not between you and me. I'm not the judge. I can't measure the sincerity of your heart. Only God measures the sincerity of your heart. Only God knows the sincerity of your heart and your mind. My job is just to make it plain so you can receive. And I try to talk you into it, because you will get your own reward. You get your own benefits. There's a great benefit package coming to know Christ.
It was Jesus Christ who said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You can have everything you want, but if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not spend eternity in heaven with him. You will spend eternity in hell. He did not come to scare us. He came to save us. This message today has been a message of hope and a message of salvation. I don't know what's going on in your life, but if you feel hopeless and helpless and you feel like there's no meaning in your life, Jesus Christ came to give you life and give you a more abundant life. But it requires you to connect with him by inviting him into your life to be your Lord and your Savior. This is Jerry G. Martin. I invite you to know Jesus Christ. If you would like some help getting to know him, call us and we'll pray with you and we'll share with you how you can come to know Jesus Christ. Call us at our prayer line number of 281-964-1393. Again, that's 281-964-1393. I invite you to come and be our guest. We're meeting in person at the Light of the World. We're at 16161 Old Humble Road. If you're in North Houston or Atascocita, Humble, Kingwood, Summerwood, or anywhere in the North or Northeast, you're in our neighborhood. Sundays at 10 a.m. You can join us online at lowcf.com. lowcf.org. Again, that's lowcf.org. Now for the light of the world, this is Jerry G. Martin saying, may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.